Laker fans, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Quick idea of who I got coming up on the show. Very, very excited. Both of these guests I'm going to have on tonight. Meta World Peace was such a joy to watch in the NBA for a number of years. He's coming up at 7:30, and you know, certainly that's a player. Tonight I'm going to spend a lot of time looking back at some of just the great legendary moments of Kobe Bryant, and who better to kind of tell their side of it than Meta World Peace, who played against him for most of his career, joined him in 2009, and the Lakers win a championship in 2010, won together, lost together. You know, I think there's a lot of things we could probably get from a player like Meta World Peace on the perspective that that was Kobe Bryant, and how Kobe Bryant just kind of approached the game, his philosophy to the game, and what he learned from one of the legends. So we got Meta coming up at 7:30. At 8:30, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman joined the show. Obviously, Max on Monday through Friday here, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm a big, big fan of Max Kellerman's work, and I'm excited to have him a part of the show. So let me start off the show with this. Kind of give everybody just a quick idea how we'll do tonight's show. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about some of my favorite Kobe Bryant moments on the basketball floor. And we'll look at that 20-year career, and all of us have these moments. All of us have these incredibly special moments that stand out to us one way or the other. I tried as best as I can, too, so I got a lot of different highlights, moments with Chick Hearn and Kobe Bryant early on in his career. I mean, Kobe Bryant, the young Kobe, right? The young Kobe Bryant, some of those highlights like no other. And, of course, we got the classic ones, the ones that he hits the buzzer beater over the Phoenix Suns, the 81-point game, all that stuff. But I found some really, really good highlights that I want to go back. So my intention on tonight's show is to celebrate one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But what makes it so unique with Kobe Bryant is for 20 years, he only rocked one jersey, and that was the Los Angeles Lakers, and it was the purple and gold. And I don't have to sit here and tell you guys just how special Kobe Bryant is to the city of L.A. And my hope and my intention is, as I share some of my stories, you guys get on those phone lines tonight at 877-710-ESPN, and you share your stories as well. Because as we kind of go through tonight's show, certainly we're going to spend a lot of time talking about one of the greatest to ever do it. And some of these memories that, you know, obviously last forever. Okay, so let me kind of start off with this. These clips of Kobe, none of them really tell the full story, right? They're all just kind of brief moments in his career. Some of them, you know, key moments in his career. Other times it could have just been in the regular season and he had a beautiful dunk over Kevin Garnett or Dwight Howard or whatever the case is. But one of the things that, you know, I've always kind of admired about Kobe, how bad he wanted to win. I mean, I've got this incredible opportunity with this microphone in front of me and speak from the heart, be as authentic as possible. You guys know, obviously, I grew up and how much I admire the Los Angeles Lakers franchise and what this franchise has accomplished. And growing up a Laker fan, man, I mean, I you got memories all over the place. But one of the things that always stood out with me with Kobe, and I think there's a lot of people that probably feel the same way on this, Kobe wanted to win. That's what Kobe wanted to do. Kobe wanted to win. So you look at fans that spend their hard-earned dollars to go across the street at Staples Center, or maybe it's a road game and it's in Golden State or Atlanta or one of those things or one of those circumstances where wherever Kobe went, obviously there were a lot of people attracted to Kobe. They wanted to go see Kobe Bryant, and that's whether it was early part of his career or it was towards the end of his career. When Kobe was coming to your city, everything kind of stopped. Kobe Bryant was one of those players that's must-watch TV. That's an entertainer that you have to stop, and that's box office that you say, when is he coming into my city? I want to do everything I can to be there. But one of the things I admired most about Kobe, you know, here we are, fan bases. I talked about how people spend their hard-earned money. they're cheering like crazy. I mean, how many people do you know that their lives are kind of built around sports? I joke around all the time, whether I'm doing this show or doing the post-game show, whatever the case is, how much better are SportsCenter highlights after the Lakers get a W? Or how much better is it to go back and now you want to watch highlights? Now you want to spend more time listening to all the interviews? Fans are incredibly passionate about their sports teams. And maybe that has to do with the fact that you were born and raised in that city. Maybe you're following a player, which I think sometimes becomes more of the norm in today's NBA. LeBron can go to three different teams, but you're a LeBron fan and you're kind of following him wherever you're going. But whatever the case is, we know how passionate fans are. And Laker fans doesn't get any more passionate. I mean, the expectations are stupid. They're ridiculous. Lakers went 10 years without winning an NBA championship, and we thought it was 35 years. We felt like, and by the way, there's plenty of franchises out there that have never won a championship. That's common. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever the case is. For the Los Angeles Lakers, they're accustomed to winning. And the only thing that Laker fans really care about at the end of the day is winning. But Kobe, you know, there was this kind of this combination with Kobe Bryant. Because with Kobe, he wanted to win more than the fan base did. How's that possible? How does a player want to win more than the fan base? I mean, think about how crazy Laker fans are when it comes to, you know, what draft pick are we going to get? We got to make a trade. What's this player doing? How come that role player isn't delivering? What do you mean Anthony Davis didn't have 30 points? LBJ had 4 turnovers. Let's talk about him all postgame show. That's how Laker fans are, right? And back in the days when Kobe got drafted, back in 1996, remember the Lakers traded, they had the draft rights for Kobe, Vlade Divac went to Charlotte. From a young age, Kobe Bryant was kind of showing, yes, listen, the guy had a lot to learn. We all remember those air balls against the Utah Jazz. But the one thing that you always knew about Kobe, he wanted to win. And that's what it was about with Kobe Bryant. That at the end of the day, you can talk about him however you wanted. He was not fearful to fail. That Utah series, I talk about this all the time. Actually, I don't talk about it enough. The fact that the dude was absolutely good with taking 4 shots in a playoff game, airballing all 4 of them, and just kind of brushing it off his shoulder and saying, okay, well, if I get the 5th one, I'm going to take the 5th one. You know what kind of courage that takes? For somebody who's been in the league for 15 years, let alone a rookie, let alone somebody that's playing with the best big man in the NBA with Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, when you really look at Kobe Bryant and you try to kind of describe his 20 years in the NBA, there's a few things that stand out to you. Fearless. Doesn't matter. I don't care who's in front of me. Is that Michael Jordan in front of me? Sounds good. I want to go against him. It doesn't matter who the competition was. Kobe would always, in his mind, think, yeah, I'm better than this guy. Even Shaq. I mean, Shaq's on his squad, on his team. Shaq, you're not working hard enough. You should be doing more in the offseason because it will help us have a better chance to win once the regular season starts. Kobe was fearless. Kobe didn't care. That's one of the things that, you know, I respected so much from Kobe. The other thing is that passion to win. He won 5 NBA championships with the Lakers. He did it with 2 different teams. He did it with Shaquille O'Neal when everybody thought, including myself, no, Kobe. I mean, Kobe, you're amazing. But Shaq's the guy. Shaq's the player. You cannot trade Shaquille O'Neal. Kobe, this will be a mistake. If you guys decide not to play with each other, and of course business got in the way and everything else, and, you know, Kobe had 3 chips under his belt. Kobe wanted to also prove that, what, everybody's telling me that I can only win because Shaquille O'Neal is with me. That was important for Kobe Bryant to say, no, I can win without Shaq. Did it with 2 different, you know, obviously 2 different franchises, not 2 different franchises, 2 different teams within the same franchise. Did it with Shaquille O'Neal. And then that kind of second half of his career where he does it with Pau Gasol. I cannot tell you how much I respected the 20-year player with the Los Angeles Lakers that cared about winning, was absolutely fearless, did not care did not care if he did fail, and if he did fail, was, all right, let's just go right back to work. Let's just go right back to work. Those are some of the things I think stand out to me, no question about it. When we come back, I'll ask Laker fans out there, what are some of the memories over those 20 years rocking the purple and gold that stand out to you? Give me specific instances. Give me games where, you know, you thought in your mind, oh my gosh, I'll never forget this moment. I was with my dad, whatever the case is. Share some of those. Feel free to share some of those on 710 tonight. So we'll take some phone calls as we come back. Plus, when we come back, I got this old school clip that I want to play with Kobe and Chick Hearn. So we'll do that. Stay right here. Thank you for tuning in. Like I mentioned, we got Meta World Peace coming up at 7:30. Yes, we're going to talk about what LeBron James did last night. Yes, we're going to talk about the Lakers sitting at 14-4, best record in the NBA, 10-0 on the road, 3-0 on the 7-game road trip. We're going to get into all of that. Don't worry. But I also want to make sure that we're sharing some of these Kobe memories throughout the show. 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Evan George locates the double-teamed O'Neal. Horn, Fisher, nice rotation of Bryant. Buckle up for Kobe Bryant! Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center. What a play!
He might have just injured that shoulder a little bit more. The windmill slam.
You realize how difficult it is to do that.
That brought everybody out of their seat.
Kobe's been quiet here. He does a great job going in over the 2 7-footers. Oh, my goodness. That was sweet. And then, you know what? How many times have we talked about when you go in and you make a great play like that at the basket, when you, those 3 points come out, how easy it looks.
He will take your breath away. Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers on top, 76-58.
I got a lot of those tonight, Laker fans. I got a lot of those I want to just sprinkle into the show. Look, one of the things I think we have to do, and this is the approach I'm taking in tonight's show, I really just want to highlight all these great memories that we got with Kobe, because we got a ton of them. And it feels good to talk about those positive moments that Kobe gave us for 20 years. And it feels good to go back. I was doing this, and Steve was nice enough to take the 35 emails that I sent him, and I spent all this time trying to figure out, all right, what highlight? Come on, not just any highlight. I wanted to find, you know, some cream of the crop highlights that we don't always hear. Don't get me wrong. There's so many of them that Kobe has, and so many that are just so memorable. But then there's also those little ones that, you know, we kind of forget. Or maybe we haven't heard of in a while, or maybe we didn't get a chance to hear it, or whatever the case is. I'm going to play another one here real quick. So, Steve, if you can look at this Chick Hearn and Kobe, and this is an interview early in Kobe's career, actually talking about Shaq.
What about Shaq?
I mean, Shaq talk every day. Every day, whether it's in practice and he's blocking one of my shots, or I'm getting a layup on him or something like that. You know, we're talking, we're giving advice to one another, we're pumping each other up at the same time.
He really, really is a nice man.
Yeah, he is. He's like my older brother.
You have an older brother?
Shaquille O'Neal.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Lakers basketball nut turn.
How great is it to hear both of those voices? It really is. It's a beautiful thing. And as the show progresses, I got some more stuff that I'll play that has Kobe. That has Chick, too. You know, you kind of think back. Those early days of Kobe Bryant, man, how fun was Lakers basketball early in Kobe's career too, right? Because now we just kind of think about only the championship days. Well, there were also plenty of days the Lakers were not winning NBA championships, but still, with all that being said, you know, obviously the memories are there and some of these highlights. I mean, thank God for YouTube. You can go back and find a lot of these. Okay, let's take a couple quick phone calls. Just a reminder, Meta World Peace coming up at 7:30. Let's go to Kenny in downtown. Kenny, I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Thanks for taking the call. Initially, I just have to disagree with your premise in terms of it was unusual for a player to want to win more than the fans. I mean, yes, the money is nice for them, but I want the players, and I think most of them do. I would agree with you that Kobe had that will to win more than virtually anybody. Of course, I put Magic up there in terms
of course.
That winning time. And I go back to the Lakers from 1969-70 season. When Jerry West carried them on his back and lost the seventh game to Willis Reed. But in terms of Kobe, 2000, ironically, Kobe's not known for his passing, but the lob to Shaq and the epic comeback, that was just tremendous. And that was, you know, Shaq had to have the big look on his face after he did it, running back down the court. That was fantastic. And again, now we go to game seven. Kobe wants to win so badly, and he really has a very poor game up until about the fourth quarter. And, of course, Metta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, bailed the Lakers out. Thank goodness for a psychiatrist, because he was just epic in that game. But Kobe actually did it at the end, and it was tremendous. And I must say one last thing.
Sure.
And that was just watching the game. So at halftime, I got a note that ESPN was showing the last game that Kobe had. Now, that night, Golden State was going for 73, and I was kind of interested. I was flipping back and forth, but just watching that game, I watched it again at halftime of football and seeing how the Lakers came back, and just like the 81-point game where he just essentially willed them to victory because the Lakers were down in both those games. Lakers scored the last 15 points of Kobe's last game, and it was
appreciate it. So
amazing.
Thank you, Kenny, and I appreciate you sharing all those. I want to get some of these other callers. Let me respond real quick. You said something about that game against the Portland Trailblazers, the alley-oop to Shaq. You know how much research I did trying to find the call of Chicken Stew? The quality was bad on YouTube, but a lot of the times we're listening to different broadcasters who are doing some of these games because they're all nationally televised games. Go do yourself a favor. Go listen to Chicken Stew on that call. And it's just, you know, I'm sure it takes Laker fans back a ton. As far as Kobe's final game, the 60, listen, I started at 710 in late 2009. My first year, Lakers beat the Boston Celtics in the championship. And I'm at Staples Center for that game. I remember even saying after that, I'm like, if I get fired tomorrow, I already won. I just got to see Lakers beat the Celtics in game seven here at Staples Center. There's nothing else that can beat this and this moment and everything else. Fast forward, obviously, there's been incredible, over the past 10 years, incredible things that have happened around the Los Angeles Lakers. And some of them include Kobe Bryant's final game. Sometimes you're in the moment of something and you're aware of what's going on and you know that as much as you want to like hold on to that memory and just kind of hope it lasts for as long as possible, you know there's going to come a time when that memory is or when that moment ends and you're going to look back and you're going to try to describe what that moment was like and you just cannot do it justice. I don't know how to explain Kobe's final game. I really don't. I mean, I really don't. I was telling Sedano and LZ, I was trying to explain that there were times where I stopped watching what was going on the floor and I was just looking at the crowd. And I'm like, how can one man, one person, get this crowd into this type of frenzy? Kobe Bryant can do it. Kobe Bryant can do it. And there were other moments, you know, certainly when he gets his two jerseys retired and so forth. All right, I got to stop talking here. I want to get a couple more calls in here. Tony in Valencia. Tony, appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, going back to that Portland comeback, it was amazing. The first caller talked about that. But the way he just handled Pippen when he was only 21 years old in the last couple of shots was just amazing. And it was
a seasoned veteran, a six-time champion. Sure, Kobe's going toe-to-toe with Scotty.
Yeah, and at that time, he was like one of the best defensive players, you know, in basketball. And the way he was only like 21 years old, I think. Mm. And it was just like so fantastic. And going back to that 60-point game, you know, I enjoyed that 60-point game more than the 81-point game because, you know, what it meant.
Oh, and, by the way, I'm with you. That's a great point. I've never heard that point being made, but I'm with you.
And, you know, in the beginning of the game, I was, like, feeling, you know, so sad because, you know, I knew it was the last game. But then when he finished with 60, I go, my God, you know, it just felt so good for him.
Tony, you know, thank you. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to squeeze in a couple more calls here. And listen, you make a – for him to kind of close it off that way in a Los Angeles Lakers jersey, I try to think here. What is there any performance that comes even close to that, to somebody that's calling it quits? You know, that's saying, okay, I'm done. This is my final game. Nothing comes to mind. I mean, if you have somebody, send me a tweet, at Alan Sliwa, but nothing comes to mind, you know, for me. All right, I got a quick story. This is I'm going to share this quick story, and I'm going to take a couple more phone calls. So back in 2005, I want to say, down in San Diego. So this is right when Shaq got traded. I want to say at that time, the Lakers were doing their training camp down in SD. I can't remember if it was USD or UCSD. I think it was USD. And at the time, you know, I had an opportunity to go cover this training camp. And I'm living in San Diego. It's where I'm born and raised. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I really don't. I don't know the process. I still don't know any of the process, by the way. But I don't know the process. But this kind of just is a perfect example of Kobe Bryant in the middle of, like, competition. I'm Kobe freaking Bryant. So practice opens up, and they open up the doors, and now the media can come in. And, you know, you could start, from what I'm assuming, you could just go start interviewing players. But there's certainly a process. Everybody kind of comes up the way they do it right now. The way they do it right now, the public relations department will say, all right, we got this player coming up next. Everybody kind of waits at the same area, and the player goes to that area. Well, I have no idea what the process is. So I find myself, I come in, and I look, and I'm like, okay, there's Kobe Bryant. So I guess what I do from here is I just walk right over to Kobe and interview him. So I start walking over towards Kobe. And I'm probably 15, 20 yards away. Kobe kind of looks over at me and he's like, no, this, of course, this kid is not walking over towards me. And I give him the look of like, I think I'm supposed to come over to you. And I got my little recorder or whatever the case is. And I get up to Kobe and I'm like, hey, Kobe, local reporter here for 1090. That was the sports radio station down in San Diego. I'm like, do you mind if I get a couple sound bites for the radio station? And he goes, yes, I do want. Or no, he goes, yes. And then I'm like, yes, as in it's okay to get sound bites from you? Or yes, you do mind? He's like, I do mind. Here I am. This is the moment Shaq just got traded. Lakers, you know, you look at that squad. It was obviously not going to be that competitive team. He's just coming off of practice, the most competitive person in the world. And my dumb you-know-what is trying to go grab an interview with Kobe Bryant. I loved that side of Kobe Bryant, that competitive side. One more quick call here, and then we're going to go to Meta World Peace. Tony in Whittier. Tony, what's going on? You there, Tony? All right, let's go to Frank in East L.A.
Hey, what's up, Sliwa? This is Frank from East L.A.
Thank you for calling.
Hello?
I said thank you for calling. You're good, bud.
You're welcome. I got two memories. One is that Jazz playoff game where he shoots the air balls. In that moment, I like knew he was the next one because there was just no fear in him, man. That kid just went up there and did it. Van Exel, you know, Jones, nobody wanted it, and he did.
Nobody wanted it. By the way, nobody wanted that ball at the end, and Kobe's like, fine, I'll take it. I'll give it to me.
I was 16 at the time, and it sort of like lived with me in that moment just to give everything my all. And then the second one is March 2011, I see the Masked Mamba, Paul Gasol, Derek Fisher, Meta World Peace, Andrew Bynum, Phil Jackson up against Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rondo, and Doc Rivers at the Staples Center. My first ever Laker game. We're box side, and Lakers win, pull off a victory against the Celtics. We got free tacos that night, and I mean, I'm never going to forget that.
Was that So that game you went to, was it a championship game or was it a regular season game?
This was on our way to the three-peat that didn't happen.
Got it.
It was a regular season game. Mm-hmm. We went into the playoffs that year, lost against the Mavericks, but it was still, I really don't care, man.
Bro, that's an amazing moment. That's an amazing moment.
Box side Kobe, bro. And it was the Mask Mamba. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, it was just, I never will forget it. And then every time Ray Allen went to shoot, I would yell out, Jesus, Jesus. Oh my, it was just, like, it brought home so much of my childhood.
Listen, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that story. All right, let's do this. Meta World Peace obviously won an NBA championship in 2010, rocking the purple and gold, played with Kobe Bryant. I think Meta played 19 years in the league. Remember Meta back in the days? Remember Meta just locking people down? Remember a lot of those battles that Meta would have with Kobe Bryant? One of the best offensive players versus one of the best defensive players, and these guys would go at it. When we come back, let's find out why Meta World Peace decided that he wanted to play with Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers. What was it about Kobe that he wanted to play with, and his time with Kobe? What does he learn from one of the greatest to ever do it? So we'll do that coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm so excited to welcome in just a fantastic NBA player over the years and certainly a champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, Meta World Peace. Nice enough to join the show. Meta, thank you for doing this. How are you doing?
Yeah, everything is great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's an interesting day, Meta, and I so want to get your kind of thoughts. I've spent the start of the show really celebrating what Kobe Bryant has been to the NBA world, on the court, off the court, and as best as I can, trying to bring up just some of the great memories over the years, and there's nobody better to ask than someone like yourself. So I'll get started with this. What are some of your memories? When I say Kobe Bryant, what sticks out to you? How would you describe the man that was on the basketball floor, the man off the floor? How would you describe Kobe Bryant?
I mean, when I play with Kobe, I mean, obviously, everyone knows he's a super competitor. I mean, that just like goes without saying. I mean, I think he's a really good teammate. Towards the end of his career, you can tell that he always wanted the best for his teammates, but when he was on a mission while he was in his career. And it shows because when he finished, we've seen a lot of smiling. We've seen a lot of more interaction with the players, with the young players, you know, those type of things. So, you know, I think he was very, very driven and wanted to be number one, you know, ever, you know, and I think when he got hurt, that really hurt him a lot. I wish he was never got hurt, because when he got hurt, it set him back a year. You know, when you talk about that whole year that he was set back, I mean, he couldn't really – he came back, wasn't the greatest besides that amazing game that he had at the end. But, you know, he wasn't able to go further on the leaderboard amongst the scorers. You know, so there was a lot of things that I wish would have been different. But he was happy. You know, when he retired, he was really happy with what he accomplished, which is great.
Meta, how should people remember Kobe Bryant, the legacy that he's left behind? What's the best way, you know, you would say in your own words to just kind of describe how people should remember one of the legends in the game?
Yeah, I would say, he was so driven that it took away from, you know, the human side, so people didn't get a chance to experience that. But we did. You know, even sometimes we was in the playoffs or in a real crucial game, and sometimes Kobe, he'll go days or weeks with just, like, you know, extreme focus and not much playing around, you know, just want to win the game, everybody lock in. but we was able to experience the side where he laughed and joked and kid around and stuff, you know, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, most fans who admire what he was able to accomplish, and we really, you know, just got to see him from on the court, some of these interviews, but for the most part, behind the scenes, it takes someone like you who can tell a story that maybe, you know, obviously we didn't have that access to Kobe Bryant. You know, Matt, I was always curious, back in 2009, when you decided to sign with the Lakers, what was it about the opportunity of playing with Kobe that drew so much interest from your perspective to say, okay, I've played against him, obviously, a number of years. He's one of the best competitors out there. What drew you to want to be with Kobe and that team and kind of be a part of an opportunity to win a championship?
Well, first, I wanted to win a shot to beat the best. So I was actually trying to – I had no more options, honestly. The Lakers was kind enough to give me a contract. I mean, LeBron James hit me up right before that, and I was supposed to go to the Cavs, but I was just trying to put myself in a position to beat some of the greats and then have your career be, you know, you beat some of the best, but that didn't happen. And then the Lakers, I got a call at 12:01, free agent day. My agent, David Bauman, at the time, he was on the line. He was like, hey, you know, the Lakers want to talk to you. And I was like, for what? And he was like, they want you. I was like, oh, wow. And then, you know, we were trying to do a few things, but I didn't have many options at that time. I wasn't a trustworthy player at that time, but the Lakers felt like, which with Kobe and Phil, you know, that it wasn't going to be a big issue with me, which I started to mature a little bit more towards that point in my career. So it was actually a good time to actually get me. And I was actually in my prime, but, you know, I was playing with Kobe, who was in his prime. So I wasn't able to show a few things. And the great thing about playing with Kobe was he was so relentless. It was a pleasure just being on the other side, playing hard, and knowing that, you know, you got this guy who's just, has this killer instinct that's going to be there every night. He's not going to hide, and he's going to be available, and he's going to succeed. And I never really experienced something like that. Really cool.
Matt of World Peace, taking some time to join Lakers Talk and reminiscing some Kobe stories out there, and it's always great to always get your perspective on things, Matt. Let me stay in that same year. So when the Lakers won that championship, and you're obviously a part of that team against the Boston Celtics, What do you think that moment meant for Kobe? Was that a conversation you two ever had about how special that was for Kobe? Not only was it against the Boston Celtics, it was his fifth championship. Do you ever have a feeling of what that moment was for him?
Wow, I think it was really great. I think he wanted to win the next one, though. You know, he really wanted to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad because I got one title, and I was really happy with the one title because I honestly didn't think I was going to get a title. I didn't think I was going to be in a championship just because of my career. And I took a little bit of blame because I felt like we should have won number six. We got swept against the Dallas Mavericks. I could see losing 4-2, but we got swept, right? So I think, like, that season was really bad for us. And then after that, it was downhill after that. You know, I feel like you know, but I mean, but he was very grateful. He definitely was grateful. You know, you can tell. He wanted to be known as the best. I think there's a lot of argument. I think he wanted it to be a non-contest. Mm. But, you know, I think due to injury and the other things, he wasn't, you know, people can actually contest it now. You know, so with that being said, he showed a lot of humility, potentially, you know, fighting for that number one spot of the greatest of all time.
Well, Matt, listen, I appreciate your honesty, and I know on a subject that's tough for you and tough for a lot of whether you're a Laker fan, sports fan, doesn't matter, the human side of it, you know, certainly today is a tough day, but I appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts and some of these great memories. I want to just get your quick thoughts on this, and we'll let you go after that. What do you think of this Lakers team right now, and just your thoughts on how the season is progressing for them? They're sitting at 14-4. What's your initial thoughts on how the team is doing so far, and what you think their chances are to try and go back to back this year?
The Lakers are just so impressive. I mean, I knew they were good. I didn't know they was this good though. I actually knew, but now we're seeing it. You know, but it is kind of hard when you got the Greek Freak over there in the East. You got Durant coming back. I mean, you don't know how the season's gonna play out. But the Lakers put themselves in position to gel and to have and build synergy. They basically put themselves in position to win two more titles, maybe three more titles, because every other team is trying to gel. It takes a year or two to gel. It's really not that easy. And then when you talk about LeBron James and Anthony Davis gelling, and this is not the first season, this is really interesting right here. This is really interesting. So, you know, with that being said, I don't see them losing the title. I mean, somebody tell me how. Especially with the Jersey Nets, I don't think the Jersey Nets are gelling yet. I don't think there's any friction over there. I just feel like they're just not gelling, the chemistry. So how long can they last, or are they okay with, you know, the chemistry and taking a year? Because it's going to take a little bit of time. Whereas the Lakers, you know, LeBron day one was focusing on doing things the right way. You know, it's a process, and the team is basically. They've been together, 3 years now? And how do you beat that? You know, I don't know.
Well, Meta, listen, man. I'm sorry. Cut you off right in the middle of it. Finish your point there.
What I was going to say is looking like number 18. Hmm. You know, and this is it's an historic year, being that the Lakers could go to the number one winning franchise in NBA history with 18 titles, and LeBron James is going to be there, you know, to do it, which is really, really big.
Yeah, it's been an incredible couple of years, no question about it. And of course, since LeBron got here, obviously the franchise, everything is changing. And then you add Anthony Davis, you got all these great role players that are sitting on this team. And I don't need to preach to you, Meta, what a championship team is all about, because you were part of one of the great Laker teams back in 2010. Meta, I always loved watching you on the floor and on the basketball floor, and now even get an opportunity to kind of get your thoughts on things. It's an honor. So thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. That's Meta World Peace right there. Meta coming through and sharing some stories. Got to love that. And you know, certainly that's a Laker that helped. He was such a key piece. We had a caller who's given his Kobe memories. One of the things that he's talking about was how Meta performed in that game 7. So. But I love getting his perspective on playing with Kobe, playing against Kobe, and we'll continue to share some of these stories throughout the show. So let me throw out the phone number real quick. 877-710-ESPN. I know we got some Laker fans that want to talk about the Kobe memories that they have, certain times in his career where, you know, it's obviously certainly a time that you'll never forget. When we come back to, I got some old school Laker highlights with Kobe Bryant that I want to play. And we can also chat a little bit about how the Lakers are doing right now with their start. So we'll get into all that. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is 710 ESPN. I thank you to Meta World Peace for joining Lakers Talk. Max Kellerman coming up at 8:30. You know, listening to Meta, a couple things kind of stand out from that conversation. And I do want to go back to yesterday's Lakers game, and I'm going to do that in a second. First of all, did you hear the way he was talking about how he got to the Lakers and how competitive Kobe used to be? And that's something that, you know, kind of drove him, and how motivating it was to him, and to kind of see that firsthand. That's why I wanted Meta today, tonight. And, you know, he's nice enough to make it happen and share his perspective. So much love to Meta World Peace. How about what Meta said at the end? I asked him, okay, is there a team? I mean, what do you think? Is there another team out in the NBA that you think can really compete with the Lakers? And he's like, how? Explain to me how another team is going to compete with the Lakers. And then he goes in about LeBron James, and he talks about how it usually takes time for other teams to start clicking. You need time for that chemistry, right? That's part of what Meta World Peace was talking about. and how the Lakers are already so far ahead when it comes to the chemistry perspective. The talent's already there. I mean, I listened to that one clip right there. I was already emailing people at the radio station. I'm like, get that from Meta. We should be playing that all over the station because this is somebody who understands the game as good as anybody, and it obviously highlights how the Lakers are doing right now. 877-710-ESPN. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Steve is going to grab your calls, and we'll continue to share some stories here about the legend, Kobe Bryant, over his 20 years here with the Los Angeles Lakers and some of the great memories that we have. And this is the way to do it, in my opinion, is to share some of these stories. And we all got just some of these unbelievable moments personally that we're sharing because of Kobe Bryant. So we're going to do that. I want to go back to yesterday here for a quick second. So yesterday the Lakers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to hit on the game for a quick second, and I'll go back to calls. So LeBron last night said that home cooking was what helped him drop 46 points. LeBron was just unbelievable yesterday. And, you know, who knows some of LeBron's motivation. Maybe he was just feeling good. Maybe he knew the significance of today. Maybe it's, you know, he's back in Cleveland where he spent 11 seasons. He's from Akron, Ohio. He helped them end a 52-year drought in his championship in 2016 against the Golden State Warriors. Whatever LeBron's motivation was, dropped 46 yesterday, had 7 threes. His shooting percentage, what was he, 19 of 26, something along those lines. Just a stupid shooting percentage that just kind of shows how hot he was. I think LeBron in just the fourth quarter, I had John Ireland talk about this with Mason Ireland earlier today. LeBron had 21 points in the fourth quarter. The Cavs had 19. Do you guys know who Jason Hillman is? Does Jason Hillman ring a bell to anybody? Anybody know who Jason Hillman is? I don't know who the hell Jason Hillman is, but I found out who Jason Hillman was or who that person is. He's a Cavs basketball chief of staff executive. Why am I talking about Jason Hillman? Listen to LeBron explain his extra motivation yesterday because of a dude named Jason Hillman.
There's someone I know for sure. Felt like he was just a little bit too excited about seeing me miss. That's what happened. He's part of the front office group, you know, but, you know, he was really excited about me missing, you know, that shot a little bit more extra than I would have liked. But he got a root for his team, obviously. And he was, you know, he showcased that. So, you know, I knew I had another quarter, and the fourth quarter is my favorite.
Jason, what are you doing? Jason Hillman, the hell are you doing? Motivating LeBron James like that. LeBron in that fourth quarter had 21 points. Cavs had 19. He went 9 of 10 from the field in the fourth. I mean, he was just ridiculous. And what did he hit that three from? 35 feet away. I don't know how far it was. But yesterday was a special performance by LBJ. It really was. So Lakers now sitting at 14-4. They're 10-0 on the road, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And here they are on a 7-game road trip. They've already won the first 3 games. And, you know, yesterday was a tough game. That was not an easy matchup. And Lakers kind of pulled it out at the end. AD struggled from the field, but still had 3 steals and 3 block shots. LeBron carried the team virtually on his own with 46 points. He had a pretty good game from Montrez. Kuz had 8 rebounds. Okay, a few guys, KCP, Dennis Schroeder, each had 10. So, yes, a few guys chipped in. But that was LeBron James single-handedly winning that game for the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday. And the show continues tomorrow, Lakers and the Sixers. So that's going to be a fantastic matchup right there. Let me get back into some Kobe stuff. I want to play this clip. This is maybe the second year of Kobe Bryant, I think. And one of my favorite, there's a combination of why this is one of my favorite calls. First of all, it's from Chick Hearn with Stu Lance. So it's legendary right there. And it's a young Kobe over Ben Wallace, if you guys remember Ben Wallace of the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to let Steve play this, and this is what I'm talking about, sprinkling in some of these great Laker Kobe moments throughout the show. Steve, you got that one? Okay, let's go.
They haven't taken him out as a sub yet. Here we got a dribble drive, change of direction by Bryant. Slam dunk. Woo!
I think that's what the fans came to see, and you talk about elevation. Chick, he went up to the rafters before he decided to put somebody on a poster.
Let's say it again.
We left the Mile High City, Kobe. Takes off from the dotted line and just keeps going and decides that, hey, if you're going to stand here, I guess I'm going to make a poster child out of you, and hammers it home. at some play by the youngster.
Steve, do me a favor. Play that exact same clip one more time. Let's get Chicken Stew. I think this was on KCAL 9. Early Kobe Bryant. If you guys remember, this is a preseason game at UNLV in Las Vegas. And here's Kobe Bryant crossing over. I forget who was in front of him, but I just remember Ben Wallace was at the end of that dunk.
They haven't taken him out as a sub yet. Here we got a dribble drive, change of direction by Bryant. Slam dunk.
Woo! I think that's what the fans came to see. And you talk about elevation. Chick, he went up to the rafters before he decided to put somebody on a poster.
Let's see it again.
We left the Mile High City, Kobe. Takes off from the dotted line. And just keeps going and decides that, hey, if you're going to stand here, I guess I'm going to make a poster child out of you. And hammers it home at some play by the youngster.
That's one of my favorite Kobe Bryant highlights. Out of all the highlights he has, I always, you know, that's one I always go back. When I'm ready to talk some Kobe, I'm like, I got to throw that one into the rotation. Sean in West Hills. Sean, appreciate you calling into Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
You know, I'm a big Laker fan. I'm essentially the same age as Kobe. I always love them, follow them. I watch every preseason playoff game, all-star game, you name it, I watched it. Of all the times, all the scoring, 81-62 against Dallas, my favorite Kobe moment is when Matt Barnes was inbounding the ball and faked it, throwing it at his face, and this guy did not even blink an eye.
Did not flinch, Sean.
He did not flinch. He did not blink an eye. It was, I mean, I could know something is coming at me, and it's not going to hit me, and I'll still flinch and dodge out of the way. And this guy was just standing there. I thought that was, for lack of a better word, cold-blooded. So,
Sean, appreciate you calling in. Thank you for calling in. How about Sammy in Long Beach? Sammy, thank you for calling. Go ahead, bud.
Hi, Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my favorite Kobe memory is probably that last 60-point game, man. And I think we all remember that last 3 years before he had that Achilles injury, man. Mm-hmm. And it had took so much from his game. So going into that game, I was just like, man, if he could just score like a relatively efficient 25 to 30 points, I'll be okay with that night. But
it'd be amazing. 25 to 30 to end his career, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would have been great. You know, 45-50% shooting, that would have been good for us. But he came out, got 60. And I was at a bar at the time, and we were just going hysterical, man. Because it had been years since we had seen like a true Kobe Black Mamba performance. And
sure.
for him to come out and give a 60, I remember there was a guy, he tapped me at the shoulder at the time. He was like, hey, remember when he did this like every night? Just getting buckets every night, you know, killing everybody in the fourth quarter, man. I really thought I would never see that type of day again, because when that Achilles injury happened, we thought, you know, logical basketball fans, we thought that was gone, the Black Mamba.
Well, Sammy, if you heard too, Meta just maybe 10, 15 minutes ago was talking about how he felt like if he did not get that injury, he would have broke so many more records from a scoring perspective and everything else. So I think you got a point there. I mean, nobody's expecting. Listen, if the dude dropped 30 on his final night, everyone would have been like, that's amazing what he accomplished. Dropped the 60. But I think you got a good point that nobody really expected that after he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, it was the improbability of all of that happening, because we did not expect that at all. And for him to give us that, his last game of his career, it just meant the world to me, man, you know. And thank you, Alan, man. You know, I'm going to just say this real quick. You know, I listen to you every night. There's some days where I'm in my house, I'll run in my car, I'll go drive around, and I'll listen to you in my car just talk Lakers all day for the rest of the night. So, hey, man, thank you for keeping the Lakers alive, keeping Kobe's legacy alive, and let's get that chip, man.
Sammy, I appreciate it. That means a lot. So thank you, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to let's get Miguel in here before we got our top NBA stories. Miguel, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thank you.
Hey, so my favorite Kobe memory, it's more of a personal one. In 2014, my mom passed away. She was 36.
Sorry for your
loss. I was about 20 years old, and you know, being the new man in the house, I had to take care of my brothers. We were living alone, and my youngest brother was the biggest Kobe fan, and he's my little brother. So my mom promised him a Laker game. So all that year, I worked overtime, saved money, I bought courtside seats for me and my little brother. And when Kobe returned in later that year in October, I think it was October or summer, I took him to the Laker game. Kobe was coming out the tunnel. I got courtside seats. I don't know what touched Kobe that day, but he stopped and he looked at us, gave us a fist bump. And I remember telling Kobe, like, thank you, this meant the world. My brother wanted to meet you. My mom passed away. And he looked at my brother and said, he's like, you're going to be okay. And he gave my brother his wristband and he walked out to the court. And I've been a Kobe fan my whole life. That just meant the world for me. And that made me love Kobe that much more.
Miguel, thank you for sharing that.
Who he is.
Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate you sharing that story. By the way, I appreciate everybody that, yeah, sometimes it might sound intimidating, pick up the phone and call. If you want to share something, pick up the phone, 877-710-ESPN. It's a chill conversation, but those stories are gold, and it's important to share some of those stories. And by the way, I can't tell you guys over, the last year or so how many stories I've heard like that about Kobe. Thank you for tuning in here, and thank you for hanging out with us. When we come back, I got top NBA stories, a few topics that I want to get into. We'll continue to kind of sprinkle in some of these great, great Kobe memories over the 20 years. We'll continue to talk about the Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers coming up tomorrow. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN.